You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, I think we're recording show three of the Beer Tour Guy show. You like that theme music? Yeah, see, when you bring ladies in, they want to sing. They might dance at some point. This is pretty exciting for me. So in the studio, Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak, I have Miranda with the same last name as myself.
Greatness.
And Carrie with definitely not the same last name as myself of Bee Nectar Meadery. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Thanks for coming out. That was in perfect unison, like you guys had practiced that.
Yeah.
And one, two, three. Hello. We got this.
Cool. Well, we have beer. We have mics. We have headphones. So we've been talking for a bit here. As I was explaining before, I keep this show pretty loose, so I kind of jump around a little bit. But let's start with who the two of you are, besides being a Bee Nectar Meadery. Miranda Johnson, when did you join?
I joined in February. It'll be 3 years that I've been with Bee Nectar and have just really enjoyed every moment of it. I mean, there's been some down times, but, you know.
But it's mostly
But fun. It's been good. Nothing that a glass of mead didn't fix. So, yeah, I've been there. I'm the marketing director. I handle all of the fun things of marketing, as well as I'm able to work so closely with Carrie on designs of labels and just some really fun stuff. And then I also take care of the tap room as well.
Okay. Carrie.
Yeah.
What's the first official year? What do we say? I know the year of Bee Nectar starting, which is August 2nd, 2008.
Yes.
What year do you say it started?
That would be 2006.
2006.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's when the idea was born and the filing of the paperwork for the license started and the drinking of mead that was already good because homebrewer Brad made some good stuff. And
so the hubby, so it came out of him and his boy were doing some mead and you had it at a wedding, right? Was it your wedding or was it someone else's wedding where the idea Sarah
what
struck?
What is the true story, Carrie?
What is the
Do
true
tell.
Story?
Now I have to remember. Okay. he'd been homebrewing. He'd been making beer and he started making some meads. And I think one of the first batches of mead that was actually good was the one that we served at our wedding.
Okay.
So that one, yeah, that was sort of
– That seems like a good way to start out being married.
The vanilla cinnamon, right?
No, actually, it was a strawberry kiwi.
Strawberry kiwi.
Something we've never even made before.
Hey,
we should put that on our list.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's taking notes here? Where's our secretary handling all this stuff?
We should get one.
We need one.
Immediately.
We all need one, honestly, don't we?
True.
I would think so.
Yeah, so it kind of started with that, and I think someone – said to him at the wedding, like, you should start a meadery. Or he said, maybe one day I'll start a meadery. And, you know, not like the idea was born there. We were married in 2005. But about a year later, I got laid off from my job. And he had been making more meads. And they'd gotten way better. And I was drinking one. And that was the vanilla cinnamon.
Okay.
And
right.
I was
See,
like,
I
can
was
I
relevant somehow.
Stop looking for a job because this sucks. And we could sell this. And that's kind of like that was the beginning.
Okay.
I think he kind of giggled at her, too, and said, oh, okay, let's go do this. And so she did.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks it's so innocent when it's said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't really take me seriously. He's like, yeah, that'd be great. That sounds like fun. You go do that. And I was like, okay, let's do this. Yeah. And so we did. I started looking up how to start a meadery, which we had to file for a winemaker's license and –
So that's the first thing a lot of people have to understand is that I guess we're really the mead show today. So we'll talk about that side of the licensing and the small winemaker's license and what that entails and how that's so different than a brewery license and a spirits license.
Right.
They're all different.
They are all different. Yeah. I mean, wine, it encompasses a lot of – it's basically an agricultural thing. So, you know, you can get a brewing license because you use grain. So like – beer, sake would be fall under that category. But if you're going to use fruit or honey or any of those other things, then you go for a small winemaker. That's what
same
we
with
did.
The yeah hard cider yeah
yep cider yeah any fruit agricultural thing, but grain has its own category, and then distilling of course is its own.
What are some of the other differences in the licensing then between beer and a small winemaker's license? Like, what are things that you can and cannot do on that side of it that you could if you had a brewery.
Yeah, go ahead, Carrie. That's your.
I know. That's a big.
I don't know anything on that.
Well,
so
basically,
okay.
If you have
I'm coming
brewery,
back to you though.
A little bit.
If you have a brewery, you can almost do anything you want. You can add honey to your beer.
Yeah,
you can
make it's braggots. Way easier. It's definitely easier.
Yeah, but basically, a grain has a lot more. I guess versatility with as far as like what the government allows.
Okay.
So you can use honey and you can use fruit in your beer, but if you're only making fruit. You know, if you're only fermenting fruit or honey, for instance, you can't add grain without the brewing license. I kind of think of it as the trump card. You know, like that – if you have a brewery, you can do almost anything you want except distill. So.
But there are some other things you can do with a small winemaker's license. You can distribute it yourself.
Well, at first –
At first you did.
Originally we could. Now if you are a small brewery, you can also self-distribute
true.
up to a certain capacity or something like that.
Right.
So. Yeah. So you kind of can do anything with beer, it feels like. But we have both. So we can do a lot of stuff now.
And it was, a couple of years ago you guys added the brewing license
into
your repertoire? That's a big word.
Yeah. I want to say it was about 4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think it was
okay.
A little bit before or it was like right around when I came in is when that came about.
By then.
But I can't remember.
It's kind of how time flies. Like I'm sure I had some beer then 4 years ago.
I'm sure
I was even at an event where you had beer. I think you guys were at Clubhouse BFD. You had a really fun event. Like the whole team came out and you brought beer.
That was a long time
ago. So that might have been about 4 years ago.
We had beer?
I want to say that. No, because I remember that's like right when I came in and there was the BFD event and I didn't make it. So yeah, I do remember that. So yeah,
good stuff.
Wow,
nice blur on that memory.
I didn't even have that written down. So amazing.
No, that was good on you guys. I don't even remember that detail. I'm like, oh, we did? Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm sure I got a good buzz out of it that time. And I remember it being a fun conversation about the beers. So, but we're really going to talk about meads today. So, okay. So, Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As before we started recording, I really learned some great stuff about you here.
Oh, God.
One was that you can sing.
I've been told I can.
Okay.
And I do try, so I just
okay.
Not
she
sure.
Did sound really good.
So
thank
what
you.
Did you just do this last weekend here? And kind of talk about how you started getting into all that.
Yeah, I was able to actually do a really great thing for a friend who recently passed away. It was a tribute to him, Ricky Lentz from Long Neck Strangler. Was able to get on stage with the lovely gentleman of Long Neck Strangler and sing the song with a gentleman by the name of Rock Harley. He is a delightful gentleman who does a Johnny Cash tribute band. And so we sang the song that Ricky and I used to sing together all the time with Jackson. So, yeah, it was really fun.
How fun. So how did you start getting into singing, though? What's your background
even just in, from being a kid in choir in high school and things like that, I ended up being able to attend Interlochen Performing Arts School up by Traverse City.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was always into it. Music has always been a very big passion of mine, which caused me to get into music management and publicity. And then I found the alcohol industry and the lovely Bee Nectar Meadery.
I mean, doesn't music and alcohol just go hand in hand anyhow?
Oh, yeah. For sure. So a lot of the things that I was already working in, and I had already kind of set the microphone down for myself of singing. But, you know, occasionally friends, I have a lot of musician friends, would have me get on stage with them and sing some songs. So it's just been a fun little hobby. You know, that was like my little home brewing.
That was your home?
I didn't home brew.
That's your home brew story?
I sang on stage and drank a lot of beer with some fun people.
Are you asked the home brew question a lot?
I am. And it's funny because I like home brewing. I don't personally do it myself, but I am a very good supporter of my friends who do.
Sure.
Helping them do it, harvest some hops, and drink, of course, the product. So
that's always kind of my answer. It's funny, running a beer tour business.
I have enough people that do it for me.
I always say that your homebrew friends need more friends to drink it with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that should be our role then.
Uh-huh.
If you're not interested
that
in being
exactly
a homebrew.
It.
You
know, it's support.
Well.
It's
you know,
support.
And that's one thing I get asked a lot. They're like, do you brew too? And I was like, I've never brewed a day in my life.
Uh-uh.
I've been there. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I think there's equipment in my house somewhere.
I know what some of
you think there's some equipment
some
in your
house?
Some of
the words mean. No, I recently, Brad and I just, it was funny, on Friday, he was like, you want to do a kettle sour together? And we're in the middle of talking about something. I'm like, I need this answer. I need you to figure out these things for me. And he's like, you want to just brew a kettle sour? Like, let's just do 5 gallons. And I'm like, all right, let's go. So I stir. I was stirring.
Okay.
So that's, I think that maybe might be my first homebrew experience.
It's a collaboration brew, by the way.
We are. Brad and Miranda kettle sour. Hopefully. Who knows? It'll turn out to be something different. We don't know.
Maybe you could do like a promo commercial where you're singing about it.
Well, that's an option. We'll write that down.
Carrie could design a really cool. Carrie could design a really cool label for you.
Yeah,
I think you're actually a professional brewer because my guess is we're going to sell whatever it is you made. So you're not technically
a home
brewer.
Oh, yeah, that would move you up.
That on the resume.
That gets you up the food chain pretty far. I would say. Oh, yeah. That's pretty funny. Well, let's talk a little bit about the design side of Bee Nectar Meadery, and I'd say that's a definite huge part. I want to say it's just all about the product. But we all know.
We got awesome labels. This woman is
labels. Yeah, I would say it was something that attracted me into it and set you apart from the average winery that made a mead. And I'm not trying to diss wineries here. We're not here to diss anybody on the show. We're here
we
to celebrate
everyone.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
So what's give me a little more of your background, Carrie, and how you got into design. Have you always been doing design work?
Yeah. I guess most of my professional career, I was a photo retoucher, and I worked for portrait photographers. So I learned Photoshop and basically just learned Photoshop. But I always liked graphic design, and I kind of did stuff on my own. The job I had right before we started the meadery was a graphic design job too. So I wasn't, you know, retouching portraits anymore, but I was, you know, I was doing corporate branding for Chrysler dealerships. So
okay.
Boring.
Yeah.
But great. It still paid the bills.
It paid the bills. I got to do the stuff I like to do. It just wasn't – portraits was more fun. I ended up back in that to support the startup of Bee Nectar. So that was always a part of what I did. But, yeah, Photoshop and Illustrator and my little graphics programs. And I always liked messing around with that stuff. But that was kind of like when I – was drinking the mead and was like, can we just sell this? And it was like, okay, you'll brew it and I'll make the labels and then we'll make money and it'll be great.
And it'll just happen.
Yeah, it'll be so much fun. And it has been fun, but it's obviously way more than that. But so I came from graphic background and so branding and things like that.
Is it still just you for everything on the label side, or do you have other people involved in that?
For the most part, it's me, but we have Carrie on our marketing team as well.
So another Carrie.
Yeah, all the Carries.
Guy Carrie. And he's got a graphics and like video background. So
he's a wizard too.
He does videos, he does a lot of music stuff. He is starting to work on some labels now, so he's kind of like, you know, he's doing things that I can't do and then picking up some of the label stuff.
So. Yeah, it's really cool to see them kind of like play back and forth.
Sure.
Yeah, they have different eyes for the art, mm-hmm. It just works so like wonderfully. So their collaboration is really, really cool to watch. That's what I do. I just sit back and watch.
That's the job of all marketers, isn't it? We just put people in there that could do stuff that we don't really know how to do.
Exactly.
And then
we put it all together in that big circle.
Right.
That's totally what we do. I get that. What's some of your inspiration then on some of the labels? Obviously, there's lots of pop culture references in what you guys do.
Oh, yeah. We love movies and things like that. Creepy stuff has always been like a fascination.
Sure,
of
seems like
I like
it.
Scary movies and
you should see what she just got in her office.
Oh my god! Yeah, I was shopping this weekend and I came back with like this skull, but it's like this rose
decorative
gold painted with like little. It's like blinged out, and I'm like, this is so badass. I love this. This needs to go in my office.
Yeah. Skulls.
That's my inspiration. Yeah, I like the creepy stuff. I've always been into like Halloween and like the scary movies and. Yeah, the creepy stuff. I don't know. I like creepy stuff, and I kind of just try to integrate that.
Okay.
I'm not like trying to scare anybody with the labels, but
I'm getting
a little scared.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
No, someone actually told me that Necro is like the scariest label.
Yeah, the
I've
Necro
ever seen.
Mango
like,
kind of scared
me out.
People
and I was
before.
Like, cool. All right.
Good.
Mission accomplished.
But, you know, from a branding perspective, it is what has helped set you guys apart on a shelf. If a customer is going to come by and look at all these average wine type looking bottles and then we come across where Bee Nectar.
It's fun. It's fun to have a consumer.
I was very aware of that from the beginning was that I didn't want to be pigeonholed into like, well, you make mead, so therefore you have to do kings and medieval stuff and
Red Fair
and all that. Not that we don't want to be a part of that, but I just think that it can be so much more. So I kind of wanted it to – I wanted to open it up so that people could appreciate it if they weren't into that. And a great way of doing that is to be like, well, everyone's got favorite movies, like the cult classics, and we kind of like make the connection there by like – making reference to those things and like doing a parody of it essentially.
Sure.
And so like I have so much fun like coming up with a concept and it's like, oh, we're doing this movie. Okay, how am I going to like get the message across without like outright copying, you know, what's been done? But
that is like subtle references that that she'll put even just on the side with the story. She just like captures everything perfectly with like even our Tuco style freak out.
Oh yeah.
Where I mean on our website it's like a food pairing. It's best with rooftop pizza. It's like if you don't watch the show, you wouldn't get that reference. So it's very much you got to kind of dig for those little hidden gems. And she hits it out of the park every single time.
So well, I brought
the research is that I have to sit down and watch a movie.
Yeah, she's got to watch movies all the time.
It's such a hard job, you know. Especially when, well,
looking kind of stressed out right now.
Yes,
like you had to watch too many movies and have too much mead.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I hear that a lot. They're just like, you always look so happy. I'm like, wow, I run a beer tour business. Like I basically get to go to breweries and drink all the time.
Right.
Why wouldn't I be happy? You know? Like that's what you
wouldn't
have to say.
Wouldn't you like
people.
To do that? Don't you do
but
that
it's
in
still
your free
work.
Time?
Yeah. You have to be like, it's still work. Though.
It is still
work.
Not
always fun and games. Everybody thinks it's the most glamorous kind of job. No, it's not always fun and games. But.
Well, I'll give you an example of not fun and games. Sorry, I mean, cut
no,
you off.
No, you're fine.
My wife and I were doing – we did bike tours Saturday, Sunday, Monday this weekend, our bike and brew tours that we do. So Monday we're doing her tour. So she has one tour that she wrote the script. It's a church history script and we start and finish at Atwater Brewery and it's a lot of fun. We're at the farthest part at the halfway point from where we're parked, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm helping in the back. So I'm a bike shepherd in the back and the person biking right next to me totally rides over a broken bottle, flat, both tires.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, oh, man. You know, so like I had one tube on me and no one else.
You stopping the whole tour in order to take care of one of the people. Well, that's nice.
So you stop and no one else. So we had 17 people that are on this tour. No one else had another tube.
Oh.
So here I am like, all right, B plan. So our B plan was we were actually on Cass Avenue right by where Little Caesars Arena is.
Mm-hmm.
So I slowly got them up to the old Miami, the bar over there, if you guys have ever been there, old school bar.
Love that place.
And I'm like, all right, they're open. Go in there, have a drink. I'm going to bike back to my car. I'm going to come pick you guys up. The rest of the bike tour group continues on. And we'll meet everyone back at Atwater Brewery.
See, how fun is it? That's so fun.
Right.
Like you just make magic happen, but it's
you
not always glamorous.
Right? Yeah. Like that wasn't really glamorous. But it did get my heart rate up because I was able to bike a lot faster.
Yeah.
When you're doing bike tours, you're really not biking that fast. You're strolling along. So I totally get that.
Yeah, yeah.
So back to the pop culture references, something I see common in that is skateboarding. And I grew up as a skater, as you may or may not know. You can't tell that now, but whatever. It doesn't matter. That's something I loved about the skateboard culture was that they always ripped off stuff. I don't want to say ripped off because that sounds so fake. But like they would take pop culture things. They would take cool logos, cool other things, and they would play with them.
Tweak them.
Spin off.
And spin off.
Parody it.
Yeah.
So it's Brad is the skater of the family.
Is that what
we would say?
Yeah. The kids do a little bit. But yeah, Brad's been into skateboarding since he was like 6 years old or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we have a half pipe in our warehouse.
He's like, I'm going to build a half pipe. I mean, he was encouraged. One of our sales guys is a former pro, so he was like, well, I'm going to build one and we can both skate.
I did not realize one of your sales guys was a former pro. Wow,
now he's
crazy.
In Florida. Well, I mean, he lives in Florida now, so he doesn't even use it. He uses it when he comes in town.
Yeah, when he comes up,
I'm like, you better get on that ramp because no one else does.
He built that for you.
So I remember when Brad was first explaining, I'm going to build a half pipe in here. I'm like, really?
You're like,
you got approval for all of that in there, you know?
That's adorable.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that statement,
right?
Not necessary. But does he need
it?
Does he need it?
No, I think more importantly, the approval was Carrie said that was all right for you to do that. Like, so did he come to you with a sales pitch or you were just saying, hey, that's cool, just don't hurt yourself?
Who did he go with any type of?
I don't think there was any permission.
No, really?
It just started showing up.
He just does stuff.
He just does stuff.
I'm like, what are you doing? Maybe building a half pipe. Okay. All right. Oh, well, the kids can use it. I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. Sure.
I'm like, we could put a band on that.
Yeah. And then I was like, yep, go ahead.
Like, we could make this a stage.
Yeah. I remember, actually, you explained that to me at one point when I had a group in there. I just brought a group in a couple of weeks ago, a private tour group, and none of them, not a single one in the group, was familiar with Bean Ector.
Thank you.
It was
fun. That's why industry people are the best. That's why working together is
the best. But it was fun explaining to them the artwork and what the styles are. And, and then they started reading labels, and so all those references.
That's the fun part.
Definitely as you explained, Tuco Style Freak Out, like, I don't think I understood all that on the label, but I had someone in the group who did.
Yeah.
And then he's explaining it to everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I dive in deep. So
yeah,
that even like the most, like, you know, the geekiest person that like loves this stuff all the way through will get it. And I've had a couple where people like were like, they were right on, and whoever did this label like knew what they were talking about, and I was like, yes, that's what I wanted. That was like,
that's how I win.
Well, yeah, and it also strikes up.
Yeah, not everyone gets it though. But even if you don't,
but
get
it strikes
it,
up conversation,
still,
and that's what's fun. It's like it gets people talking, even if they don't know it, but they get the reference. First off, that's kind of cool. Like, people think it's kind of neat if they still don't know who we are, but then they see something of that nature, and then he was explaining it to you. That to me is, that's great. That's great networking. That's great marketing. It's just fun. So
yeah, it's fun that I start explaining what Mead is, and then as I move into that, then they're more interested and they're getting deeper. And I'm like, you see that area over there? That's all the product you just tried. They got all these bottles to go. Go look at some of those labels. And then people started looking at labels, and they come back and ask another question. And then I'm like, you know, you could just buy those and bring them back here. And then that was, you know, that's how you know I'm a sales guy, right?
I love you, Steve. You're the best.
Yeah. And it's our third stop.
It's so cool, too. Like, with everything that she does, I always explain it to people that when I used to be younger, you know, going out to get vinyl and like look at records and things like that, I would sometimes not even know the band, but I'd love what the album looked like. And it's that label. And it's either what was written on the back or the visuals or things like that. That's how I feel like people can kind of connect as well, is that if I see Bee Nectar, I'm drawn to the label immediately.
And, sure.
You know, I'm just a visual person, so I don't know. What do I know? But
well, it's what,
I don't know. That's
it's where
it
you can compare,
me.
I guess, Bee Nectar Meadery into the craft beer world and breweries.
Right.
And what originally drew a lot of us into the beer industry probably was that.
Yeah, there's like crazy
cool labels,
or there's crazy
cool
cans coming out
that's
now.
That's what I loved. Yeah, and you know, when I was like, when we first started and I was looking for a commercial mead, I'm like, okay, well, let's go buy some. We were in a homebrew club, the Ford Homebrew Club in Dearborn, and there was a lot of people in that club that made really good mead. And it was really hard to leave there and go, well, let's go buy some because I like this stuff. And then you go to the store and there's nothing there. And it's, you know, got a night on it, or it's like really plain and boring, and it wasn't even that good. So that was like another motivator, was like, you can't even find this stuff commercially that's any good. Nothing like what we were drinking at the homebrew club. And so they were a huge inspiration to us when we got really into it, because we did a pineapple coconut mead that was based on a recipe that we'd gotten from someone at the club. Mm-hmm. And like the margarita mead was another one.
I definitely remember
like
that.
Milton's Madness. So
I said no salt.
Yeah, I said no salt.
You always have to remember salt. You put it on the label, Carrie.
I know. I do forget.
You know, as I drove by downtown Royal Oak, and I went by the Main Art Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they talk about their midnight movies, and they had Office Space.
Yes. I know.
And I'm like, oh, I'll be out of town. Oh, that'd be so awesome to see that at night and pull that reference. I love that movie.
Oh, it's so great.
That's the one of the best movies.
Yeah, we love it too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now we got a lull, and I'm like, what was I going to talk about next?
Yeah, what's next,
what
Steve?
What were we talking about?
Oh, we were talking about the early days. Okay, so initially, so I'll tie in a couple of my first experiences with Bee Nectar. I couldn't even tell you how I heard you the first time, but I definitely came when you first started doing some of the tastings in the garage.
At 1505 Jarvis.
Space. Yep.
And
we still have that space.
Yeah. And I could still remember. I always tell when I see Brad this, we always make jokes about it, how the third tour I did. So I started Motor City Brew Tours in 2009. So the third tour I did, the second Second stop was Bee Nectar Meadery. So I had, I don't know, maybe I had 20 people with me.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this.
Yeah, or maybe I told you this before. Yeah, yeah, Carrie, maybe you never heard this. And we pull in there. And, you know, it's probably, it was everyone's reaction when you pull in there. Like, everyone on the bus is like, where are we going?
Where are we?
Again, what's Bee Nectar?
He's going to murder us all?
I don't understand. I go, I promise I'm going to go knock on that garage door and someone's going to be behind there. There's going to be a whole table set up with bottles of awesomeness. And you guys are going to get to try everything. And then if you like it, you can buy some bottles and we can drink it back on the bus. And it was like, I don't know, I think it was fall or it was pretty cold out. And sure enough, I just go and knock on the door and then opens up and there's Brad and Paul there. And they're just all, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. They're all excited, you know, because maybe we were the first group ever to just show up. You know, you might have had some random people for a while and months
in
there.
Yeah, yeah. We had the once-a-month or twice-a-month tastings.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're going to be open on Friday.
And I'm sure I showed up to one or two of those. And then somewhere I said, I got to bring people back here. And then as I started
– Look at you. Were already bringing
tours,
the masses.
Mm-hmm.
I was bringing something. At that point, I'm sure it was all friends and family. Like at least our first half year was – a few random customers came across us at that point. But the whole world, as we know, was a lot different in 2009 for better products.
So they trusted
products.
You enough. They didn't run away screaming when they saw where you parked.
No, but they definitely question you at first, don't they? But it was so much fun. Like I loved that part of it. That got me so excited to go there and that discovery of it. And then to compare then to now – and how your portfolio of products is so much more wider than when you first started. So as you first started, it was what we would have considered
like
still. Yeah, like four or five.
Your traditional
still
like
stills,
yeah.
So when most people, when you explain mead, let's back up. So we'll start with Carrie and then Miranda can give her marketing answer to this, right? So how often do you have to explain what mead is to people? If you had to put a number to it since you started this business, it's probably a big number,
oh my
isn't
God.
It?
Yeah.
Probably not impossible.
Not since the most recent Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, no, they took care of that for us.
Now everybody's asking.
We still do. We still have to educate people because there's still a lot of people, like, even though it was kind of an easy way into it through craft beer because. Most of the craft beer enthusiasts are very experimental. They want to try the next thing, like the next crazy, and we marketed it that way. We marketed to the craft beer enthusiasts because they understood it. And
definitely.
Even though that was our market, we still have to explain it to people. They're like – they were curious and they're like, well, what is this? Well, mead. Meat? No,
yeah.
No, not
you're
meat.
A butcher?
Like, not like sausage. Mead. M-E-A-D. It's fermented honey. They're like, oh, well, you know, I got to try that. So we've been educating the entire time. Like, we don't ever stop.
Yeah, you feel like that part of your job probably
never
ends.
Yeah, it's not as much now, but still, we still do quite often.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good answer to it now because I've brought folks a decent amount of times to Bee Nectar to where I've had to explain it. So Miranda, when someone asks you that question, what is mead? How's mead different than beer? And how do you answer that?
Oh, it's just funny. It's just like, well, what kind of beers do you guys make? And I'm like, well, we're a meadery. And again, you're a butcher? Like,
yeah.
No, not sausages, nothing like that, no. No, I mean, when I get into like explaining mead and just trying to educate people, I mean, it's honey, water, and yeast. It's a fermentable alcohol. It's the oldest alcohol known to mankind. Well, I'm sure there's probably something else, but I haven't found that one yet.
Well, that's the story we're
going
with.
But that's the story we go with.
That's the fun story. Yeah, I like that.
My biggest thing is just being able to explain to definitely craft beer enthusiasts are people that are a little bit more open to trying to find out that education, so they're a little bit more knowledgeable. But even some of my family members, you know, trying to explain it to them is – it's just keeping it very simple but also then kind of talking about our portfolio of how we do it. My grandfather was a huge Bee Nectar fan, and it was before I even worked there. So my family was able to definitely find out a little bit more about it. But even with the options that we throw out there for craft beer enthusiasts of lower ABV, carbonated, fun flavors, ciders and meads, and to differentiate that is I think people are really kind of intrigued by it. So,
I think so. I mean, it's part of the story that I want to tell when I'm explaining Bee Nectar to people. So let's go back to you're doing still meads in the early years, Carrie. And then who had the idea to say, let's try to carbonate this and do it in more of a ABV that would match a craft beer?
That I don't remember.
I can't even remember now. I mean, I remember hearing you guys working on it.
It just magically happened on its own.
You know what? Actually, it could have been, and I might be making some people mad because if they actually came up with it, I'm not going to give them credit, and I apologize. But
that's fine.
The story that I know is that there was a bar in North Carolina that we were distributed in North Carolina, like our regular still meads, and they requested for us to make a low-alcohol carbonated mead with cherries in it.
Okay.
Just for them, to serve at their bar. And so they were like, yep, we'll do that. So they went ahead and they started developing a recipe. And when it was done, we called up the bar and we're like, hey, you know, we tried to get a hold of our distributor and we said, hey, we got this stuff for this bar and it's ready. And they're like, oh, well, they're out of business. So we have this product now and we're like, well, what are we going to do with it? And that was Zombie Killer. That's how Zombie Killer was born, was someone had a request for it and we're like, well, we've got a sale, so we're going to do this. And that's where that was born. Now we – and I don't know if this became – this was for, before or after, but we had a couple of other like the lower alcohol carbonated. Like we had a blueberry one that we did and like some other flavors. So we were experimenting around that same time. And I don't know if it was because of that request or if we had already started doing it and then we – followed through further with the what ended up being Zombie Killer. So I'm not sure which came first, but
– so would it say that you guys kind of created that subcategory of mead?
Just from stories even from me, like having to dig everything up and trying to like find the best way to market things to people, that's what I've always came across with any of the stories that I've – from Carrie and Brett.
Technically, no, like, because Redstone has had low alcohol carbonated
Redstone
stuff
meadery.
On the market. Yep. But I think we created the market.
Sure. I mean, maybe that's another way to say it.
Maybe that would be a more accurate way because we kind of made it big. Like they were already out there doing that. They just maybe didn't have the footprint that we, you know, developed. So I don't want to sound too cocky.
No, no, it's not cocky at all. And I think you guys should take credit for it. Your business would be in a much different place, I think, if you wouldn't have gone in that direction.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you agree with that?
No, absolutely. Totally.
I mean that as a compliment. I don't mean that in like you'd be screwed if you didn't do that.
No, and
that
was kind of the thing is we wanted to make stuff we wanted to drink. Like we liked all of the big, you know, big,
still
juicy still meads. But after a while, you're just like, okay, can I have a beer? Can I put some club soda in this and just like tone it down? Because like I want to drink like four of these. And if I did that, I'd be on my face. So we kind of did that because that's what we wanted to drink. So
yeah, we still play around in the tap room with like different flavors that we bring in there, and we mix and match, and we make up these little cocktails. And
oh yeah,
we have
like,
a lot of
half
fun
of this
with
and
it.
Half of that.
But it is. I think she says it perfectly. Is that we make stuff that we'd want to drink. And I know it's like – I feel like it's such a typical statement of –
sounds like what a brewer would say.
What a brewer would say. You know, I know exactly.
But I think that's what people love too is like the passion behind it. And it's like if you love what you're doing, other people will too because they can see that.
Well, that and us being like a different kind of branch of the industry. It's not beer. I mean we do some really great beers too, but it's mead and cider. It's things that people are still like, I don't know if I really like cider. I'm like, well, have you tried it? It's just like, oh, I don't really like mushrooms. Huh?
You should try them. You get so many people that are like, oh, I don't like meat. And I was like, I bet you don't. But if you know, if you tried a porter for your first time and you said you didn't like beer, well, you'd still be missing out on a lot of different things.
Yeah,
like,
it's definitely
maybe meat is your way to go and you don't like porter. That's fine.
Or it's just
but,
somebody's
you know,
had
just so much.
With the traditional and it's too syrupy and sweet or it's this and that. And there's a lot of things to be able to kind of be like, well, wait, just 1 minute. And I've done it with friends and family as well. So yeah, it's always educating and always being like, well, just take a sip.
Just getting them to try it.
Just try it.
You got to be a pusher.
And if you
bit.
Don't like it, then that's fine. But at least you tried it.
And that's what puts you guys out in the market in lots of tasting events, lots of different festivals, is that you're always, like you said, you're always continually educating. You want people to get that trial.
You want to be wanted.
Once they try it, they're going to come back and they're going to get more.
Exactly.
Beer festivals are always the best way. We've done a few like wine shows and stuff, and those are
different
fun.
Crowd,
they're
isn't
fun.
It?
We have fun at them, but it's actually really entertaining.
I'm like, I love wine. I'm all like, okay, you watch the table. I'm going to go taste this stuff. And then people walk up to the table and they're like, do you have red or white? I'm like, no, it's mead. What? Well, is it red or white? Okay, hold on. It's honey. It's not grapes. Oh, I don't understand. I just want an oaky white or, you know, like they know what they like. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to find the next bottle of what they already like. They're not there to try new things. So, I mean, you get like a handful of people, but about maybe 5% of the people that go to those wine festivals are like
They're looking for.
Yeah, but most of them know what
In my experience, I've come across that too. Yeah. I definitely get asked a lot like, why don't you go to wineries? And I'm like, well, I like drinking wine too. But at the end of the day, I love the beer industry and the beer folks are different than mm-hmm. wine folks.
Yeah, very true.
I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong.
Oh, they're no, just all different. Of the folks are great.
Yeah. Yeah. They just have their own approach.
It's just very different.
And from a try new things perspective, they're kind of in their own little world with that.
And I get that because I'm like that too. When I go to a wine show and I was like, give me that dry, earthy red and that oaky Chardonnay and then let me find the bottles that are, you know, $20 and under so I can go buy lots of them.
Right.
And yeah, I'm not looking for like what's new and experimental. I don't care.
That's why we do so great.
Do you think the wine industry will ever get like that?
I don't know. I think you want to know. We've had a couple experiences at some different events, like wine events, that worked out really great. I think it just all depends. I think they're very cut and dry, you know, and they like what they like. And I'm the same too. I'm a very big wine drinker. And when I go to a wine show, I'm not there to try anything new. I'm there to go find what I really, really like and see what the price point is and buy a bunch of it. So. Yeah. It's like there's an understanding there, but with the craft beer events and things of that nature, that's where, you know, I think people are looking for that new thing.
I think the wine industry has seen the experimentation of the beer industry, and they are taking steps. Like I've seen like bourbon barrel aged Merlot or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of dipping their toe in the water.
Just like we're seeing with spirits companies do the same thing.
Yeah. There's craft spirits, there's craft beer, and there's kind of craft wine, but I think it's going to take a lot longer to take off.
Yeah. I've seen wine in cans now a bit.
Yeah.
Bags.
My favorite.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, who doesn't like a good bag of wine?
Who doesn't like you know,
the boxes?
I know the box. I mean, they're technically bags, but it's a pretty box too. So, you know, take it in any type of vessel. Delightful vessels.
Would you guys ever can mead?
You know, it's funny that you bring that up.
Oh,
yeah, it's something that we've been looking into.
Okay.
It's been a fun little project to work on. So it's just making sure it comes down to making sure the product is always on point. And, you know, playing around with the can idea. I mean, it gives it availability for people to do kind of those mix and matches at different stores. And so it does. It changes the dynamic for us. So it's something that we've been investigating.
Oh, I'd love to pick up a four-pack of four different bean nectar, draft meads,
kind of,
carbonated meads.
Yeah, we're basically in like the research phase of like, what are people looking for? What is it that they want? What's the price point that they want? And to see if we can put it all together and put something out there that the people actually want.
Is part of that driven from a lot of the hard cider brands have done that? They've gone to cans.
I've definitely seen that. We keep an eye on the market for sure. We keep an eye on what everybody's doing and what are the kids buying these days. And, you know, but I think also it's like what works for us too. We definitely have a certain look with our bottles.
Sure. And that would be different with cans.
Yeah, it'd be very different with cans.
Look at all that space you'd have to design.
Oh,
on.
I know.
Doesn't that get you
I've
a little...
got a zombie killer design.
I know. We
that,
do
like,
have designs.
You know,
so, see, we're working on it. We're working on it.
Got to kill all the golfers one too.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds exciting when I hear it.
Like, yeah. They're really cool. Like, I have to say, they're really cool. I'm really excited. So if we ever do get to do that, like I'm like, this is so cool. I'm really excited.
It'll be fun.
Okay.
So we're thinking about it.
On my last show, I think I had mentioned I had John Pippenbrock from Kunin, and he showed up only with cans. And it was the first time Kunin had done cans, and they did it for their summer solstice celebration.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the first one he cracks? It's a Wit Braggot Mead in a can.
Of course.
Just like, I look at him like, I'm like, dude, I don't know what I think about that, right? But I liked it. And we definitely got – you could tell we liked it because we were talking a lot louder into the mic within about five minutes into the show.
Was it because it was in a can or was it because it didn't sound really good to drink?
I don't know what to think of it. It's like a wit. I'm not a big Braggot fan, really.
Okay,
I really haven't gravitated toward this. It's funny. I love mead and I love beer. I guess I didn't like mixing the two. I don't know. I'm not like a beer cocktail kind of guy or whatever you want to call that.
Sure.
That's not my thing. But in this case, it was about a 6.9% or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little more sessionable. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, totally.
It was a little more drinkable than what I'd remembered of the last time I had a Braggot. So that probably changed my mind, and maybe I should not be so close-minded.
Well, no,
yeah, Braggots can be really fun.
Just like me, you got all the versatility of Braggots too. Like we did like the Liger one is one.
Oh
of my
yeah, with
favorite
the off-color
Braggots
in
of
Chicago.
Time.
Okay,
yeah,
that
was
a collab
we did for that Chicago. The Northdown Cafe does a charity event every year for Lions, Tigers, and Beers. And they did
the Big Cat Sanctuary.
They donate to the Big Cat Sanctuary.
Yeah.
So we did the Liger. And it was, you know, the Bee Nectar off color. It was a, like, it was white tea and lavender.
Oh, yeah. It was made of magical
honey
things.
Honey and pineapple. And, whoa. Like, it was, and it was about 10%, but oh my God, it was amazing.
And I'm with you.
One of the favorite things I had ever drank.
I have not been a big Braggot fan. You know, it's especially coming into the mead world and then figuring all that out. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'll keep them separate. But then I had Liger and I'm like, okay, I'm going to always have to try the Braggots. If there's one available, I will always try it because it is such a magical little concoction, I guess you could say. So some of them are great, but yeah, the Liger
that
was my absolute
that one was
favorite.
Magic.
I
absolutely
think it reminds me that I sometimes get in my own little zone of what I'm drinking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I get a little too set in my – I'm in my 40s kind of way.
Yeah.
And like when I first got into this world, like I'd never – like I'd just try everything and, you know, and then maybe your trial slows down a little bit because you just –
you know what you like, but yeah, you got to step.
But then maybe I
the
didn't realize I liked that and now I should and, you know, jump back in there.
Right, right.
You know, definitely – it has been the case for mead, for cider. And in my case, I have a wife who doesn't drink beer. So it probably pushed me in the direction of trying meads,
try other things,
trying ciders, trying wines, occasionally some spirits and things like that. A lot quicker maybe than other beer drinkers would
right
have done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So and then I've tried to mix it in on events I do once in a while, like the Mead Day bus that I've tied in with you guys a couple times now. That's been fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Plus on August 2nd, that's my anniversary date.
Oh.
So since you guys always are running your anniversary party then, your summer one then. So let's talk a bit about that. Let's talk about creating festivals for your product.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. When was the first one? So that would probably predate Miranda.
I wasn't there.
I think – well, obviously like our grand opening and then every year after. So we opened – it was August 2nd, but National Mead Day. So the first Saturday in August is like our anniversary. So every year we've done an anniversary party. So I think we maybe did that for – like 4 years, five.
Oh, you're looking
maybe
at me like I know anything. I have no idea.
You remember some history better than I do sometimes. So I don't remember when we integrated the spring into the mix, where we would kind of do something like April,
May,
and like.
Yeah, so now you have two basically. So you have a spring, and then you have the one that would fall on your birthday and the first weekend of August.
Yeah.
So we do two a year now.
So what have you learned from that? So from where you started to
get
where
really
you are now.
Get really comfortable shoes.
Yeah. I think so.
It just keeps growing, you know. Every
have a
year
Bloody
we
Mary
kind
in
of
the morning.
Try to outdo ourselves or like, yeah, well, we had whiskey one day.
Oh, yeah. We've, you know, we keep it really, really – I think now, at least the 3 years I've been there, almost 3 years. I don't want to go too far on that one. But yeah, almost 3 years that I've been there. It started to run a little bit, you know, seamlessly. The team, this whole staff, I mean, we have what, like 25 employees. Everybody thinks we have like 2,500. No, there's 25.
Oh, yeah. So like first it was me trying to plan it all. And then me and Nick, we were like the go-to. And we'd meet every week for like 3 months, 4 months to like
– and that's how I came
handle
in.
Handle it all. And then she came in and I was like, oh, thank God. And then we had like a whole team of people. We had like six of us or something, and then I was like, "Here you go, Miranda."
Yeah, and then there's
girls.
Meetings.
So that gave you some
stopped
freedom.
Yeah,
you got some breathing room.
I was like, I think for the first time ever, when her first fest was the first time that I walked around and talked to people instead of running around like an ass.
Well,
and
that was my
to get
goal.
Shit done.
I could distinctively remember that too. That
they are.
I would see you and Brad, and then like I want to say in the last couple of years, like I'd have like a 5 minute conversation of Brad during the Mead
You're
Fest.
Welcome.
I think, oh my God, you know. And sometimes he would almost forget. Oh yeah, that's right. It was like this is our thing, you know.
Yeah.
But it's because of bringing talented people on, and then you've really created a format around it that really works well. You have a great outdoor space for it there in the industrial zone of Ferndale. Yeah. That's always how I describe that area.
Welcome to the industrial area. Yeah. We are the other kids on the other side of the track. We're the misfits on the other side of the track.
Because when you say you're from Ferndale, you have to say, well, we're not at 9 Mile and Woodward.
Yeah,
like, not every business is at 9 Mile and Woodward. Right.
We're not downtown Ferndale.
Right.
Yeah. We are Ferndale, but we're just,
you're in the suburbs of Ferndale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Industrial suburbs.
Industrial suburbs.
That is a pretty good description.
So the first couple times, or the first so many times you guys did the festivals, you'd have, you know, amazing bottle releases at them, and you have really long lines and all the logistics that makes stuff like that very challenging to do right. So what was the big change you guys did, about 2 years ago that has changed that up, or a year and a half ago?
We actually –
What club? What's the club called?
Yeah, we started the Royal Jelly Bottle Club.
Okay.
Yeah, the Royal Jelly Bottle Club, RJBC. Those are my people.
Miranda's children.
Yeah, those are my children. Yeah, we started that about – it's we're going
to – Because you got kids, so you're not looking to get more kids.
No, I don't. So now I do. Now I have all these adults that are always asking for me Eldegards, and it's really great. No, it's a really great group of people. We launched it and we're going on our second year now.
Okay.
So it's really fun, and we don't know we don't know what we're doing. Like, I basically was like, hey Brad, what kind of clubs do you think, like, what should we do?
He's like,
I don't know. Like, what do people like? So I'm like, well, I'm in like this vinyl club, so we do this and I get this thing, and so we were just trying to like compile what cool shit could we do for people that dig us, you know, and make it worth their while. You know, I mean, being in memberships and clubs and things like that, it's costly, but we always want to make sure we're offering up like a cool bottle, which our last year we did a double, or is it triple barrel? Double barrel aged apple pie with crust in a nice Bellissimo bottle in every single label.
Bellissimo bottle.
Yeah.
Wish I could say that real slick. I don't have that kind of voice.
I hope
better than I did. So.
No. So, and every single label on that was hand-drawn by Carrie. Not this one, but
the gentleman Carrie.
Hand-drawn.
He's kind of taken over the Mieldegard label.
Oh, he's insane. He's bonkers.
Most recent one, and creative, he's doing and great. The next one coming out.
Yeah. So, we're trying to like make it cool and make sure everybody gets a really, you know, good experience. And we have parties
and the funny little t-shirt.
Right.
We do weird things, but we like to throw in parties.
Right. So that technically took away from our lines, because when we first started the bottle club, we were like, lines suck.
No one likes lines.
No one likes lines. I hate lines. Like, I will leave if I have to stand too long in a line. So we're like, lines suck. Let's take these are our big enthusiasts. These are the people that literally would be standing in that long line waiting until we would let everyone in for the festival. So we basically gave an opportunity to the public to say, all right, we can only do so many bottle club members, but let's come on in and let's, you know, join the club.
How many is that?
Is that
a secret, or?
Well, we started with roughly, I think we had 61 last year.
Yeah.
We've limited it, like, it's a little limited right now. We brought it down to 31. And it's just because there is so much work that goes into it.
Sure.
And it's my little land. So, there's always, we have a lovely waiting list and there's people on that. So we'd like to bring them in slowly but surely. But, it's just a really fun club, and it does. It's helped with the lines at Fest.
They get in an hour early for Fest.
We have a pre-party the day
pre-party.
Before.
They get order forms. They get all of our releases a week ahead of the public.
They get releases that are only for them.
Yeah.
And I talked to many of them at the Spring Fest. It was the first time I think I talked to any of them. And wow, they're all enthusiastic.
There wasn't
a single one I talked to that wasn't like really geeked
about
the experience.
Yeah, we have a good time. We all have a really good time together, and they're great people.
No, they are fun to hang out with. So like the parties that we do, like, they're a lot of fun. You get a lot of really cool people there.
Yeah.
I'm a member of a different kind of mug club at Royal Oak Brewery. They have two tiers. I don't know if you're familiar with how Royal Oak Brewery does it. They have a general mug club, which is similar to what most breweries do. And then they have the Royal Club. The Royal Club, they only let 50 members into. And the only way you can really get into it is if someone decides
somebody drops out.
Yeah. And then – so a couple of years ago, it was right around my birthday in December, and I'm there getting my birthday meal at Royal Oak Brewery, and they were doing a drawing that night that if your name got picked, then you could buy one of these,
oh.
right? A higher end kind of mug club program, the Royal Club. And I was like, oh, whatever. But what had happened was, this is funny, I could tie this back into Bee Nectar. I just realized this as I'm telling the story. So the week prior, I had a double tour in a day or something, and with one of the stops being at Bee Nectar, and the both clients paid in like cash. So cash is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So it was like each of them were like $1,000 jobs. So I literally had just gotten $2,000 in cash. So now I'm out to dinner with my wife, and then another friend of ours is sitting there drinking with us. So literally like just flush with a couple of hundreds in my pocket, which I never ever would normally have. And then my name gets pulled out, and I'm like, my wife looks at me like, you should
Magic.
Do it, right? You should do it, yeah. And theirs is the same way. They release a special beer every month that only those 50 people can drink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And then they have a special – you get this larger goblet and you get this laser-engraved metal card with your name on it and the number.
Yeah.
And then they have a Royal Club party, which is very high-end food, very high-end drinking.
Fun.
Entertainment, the whole deal. I just went to it for the first time. And for me to be able to go to one of those – is like almost impossible because it's always going to be –
because that one word weekend or like vacation,
yeah.
what we were talking about,
because,
those things, those,
it's
those
not
weird
like,
words.
Yeah, it's not like it's on Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's like on Saturday and like prime time. And I had to like rearrange a bike tour and then – so I went to – this was just a couple of weeks ago all this happened. I went to this party and it started at 10:30 in the morning. And it went to 1:30 p.m.
That's some dedication
so,
there.
Well, because Royal Oak Brewery, they had us outside partially on the patio, and then the place starts to get busy as customers come in. They don't close the place down. So that's – they're kind of cross to bear of being a restaurant brewery. So I go there and I go, I got a plan. I'm going to bike there so that I won't drink too much. And but I'll be safe, you know, because I'm on a bike. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I go there and I kick back about, you know, maybe 320 ounces, have some awesome food. And I had to do a tour that night at 5 o'clock.
Oh.
I'm sorry, at 4 o'clock. Coincidentally, which was going to Bee Nectar again. So that's when I came in that night. So when I got, when I finally make it to the tour bus.
I think I remember because you were like, oh, it's my birthday.
And so the whole thing was kind of crazy. And my point is those clubs are really fun and it really brings in like your best customers to be engaged
really
with what you guys are doing, what you're doing best.
It really is. It's really fun, again, to engage with the enthusiasts. I mean, there's a lot of forums and groups and things on all social media and stuff. So it's really fun to be able to just be able to speak with them one-on-one, to have that relationship there. Because it's you get to listen to your consumer. You get to listen to your customer about what they're interested in or – of course, or they just nag you for meal to guards or whatever it is that they want at the time. But
we're delivering. It's
fine. I know. But it is.
Sounds like a sensitive subject.
They've been asking for years.
Oh,
it's just like a running joke.
They all just
That's
love
like
to,
all they want.
Yeah, they just love to give me a hard time.
Is it meal to guard?
I mean,
are
like
you making a meal?
You gave them a double barrel aged product, and they still want.
That was our meal de garde number two. We surprised them with that, and they didn't even know because then we released our meal de garde number three, and they're like, "Well, wait, what was number two?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, you guys already got it.
It's the one that you guys
so
got."
So stop asking.
So I saw the double barrel aged, and I'm like, "What does that mean?"
So basically, so Meal de Garde number three was a double barrel aged episode 13.
Okay.
And episode 13 is the traditional mead, like the buckwheat orange blossom that we
didn't actually go
in
into five barrels. Five different barrels, but two of them, they were.
We call it double barrel aged because we make the episode 13 in the bourbon barrel.
Okay.
And it's not like we only use one because we have to use several to make the batch large enough. But once that's done and we release episode 13 because it tastes perfect and it's all great. Then we put it in freshly dumped whiskey barrels again.
Yeah. Oh,
and
okay.
And it picks up even more of the whiskey flavor.
So hence the double barrel. Okay.
Exactly.
I went like the octo barrel. How many barrels? All of the barrels.
Like there was a rye barrel and like a
was it like
Irish,
an Irish whiskey barrel. Like two Irish. Yeah, it was. Yeah, there was a lot.
I can't remember. There was like, yeah.
Wild.
So there was like three different styles. And then we blended all that together and released it. So that's why it's double barrel aged.
Yeah. Okay. think I got that now.
I think I could explain that now to somebody.
Because I sure got asked when I brought people in a couple of weeks ago. I was like, and I asked one of your staff that was bartending, and they gave a good answer, I thought. But I feel like I want to keep asking the question because if I hear it enough, then I'll hear the answer enough, I'll be better at it.
But don't ask me. I'll just confuse you more.
Probably. It sounds like it because you're like, I don't know. There were all these 52 barrels.
No, but no.
That's all right. All right. Well, how about we talk about what's next? So you guys got some fun stuff that you have coming up, the events you're going to be at. Let's talk a bit about that. Let's talk about maybe some fun things maybe you could talk about for next year if you're allowed to. I don't know what approvals.
We'll see how we feel.
See how you feel.
We got about 10
minutes left here. So
I know. I need another beer. But no, we do. We have a lot of fun events. Right now we're consistently at the Renaissance Festival out in Holly.
Renfest, okay.
The Renfest. So we're there every weekend except for the last weekend of this month. We're going to be at the Ferndale DIY Festival.
Okay.
So we'll be there.
That's always a fun event.
Oh, yeah. We have a great time. It's a really, really fun event. So everybody will have to look for our flag and our branded tent will be there. Hopefully our slushy machine will be making
it. Oh, the slushies. We didn't even talk about that.
It's having a tough time right now. It's under maintenance right now. We got to see how it's doing. But yeah, no, the slushy machine should hopefully be kicking out some slushies. And then we have – what else are we doing? We're doing
the Boston.
Yeah, we're going to
Copenhagen
Boston
beer
for the
celebration.
Yep.
Is that what they call it?
Yep,
still?
The Copenhagen beer celebration that they do, of course, over in Copenhagen. They do one in Boston as well. So myself and one of our sales reps, Dana, are headed out there the end of this month as well, right when DIY is happening. So yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go to that party. You guys make sure that event is good, please. Yeah. And then, into October – we have some fun releases we're planning to do, and then our Hallowmead party, which is the 28th of October. So costumes are required. There's some fun
stuff. That's probably why I haven't seen you at that before. I think I went about 3-4 years ago. I don't remember.
It's a fun one.
I always had another friend that's throwing a party when you're doing that, it seems like.
Yeah, we do a little costume contest. I think actually we're going to try to bring in a pumpkin carving contest maybe earlier in that week. So there's going to be like fun gifts and prizes and stuff like that. But yeah, we always have fun with our weird events.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank both of you fine ladies for coming out here today and drinking some of this great beer from who?
Falling Down.
Yeah,
proud
Falling
sponsor
Down.
Of Podcast Detroit.
Delicious.
I want to thank the Better on Draft guys for giving me an opportunity to do this show. If you want to learn more about Bee Nectar Meadery, where do you go?
Oh, you can go to our Facebook, our Twitter, Instagram, as well as, of course, our website, which is beenectar.com.
Okay. And you can learn more about my stuff if you go to MotorCityBrewTours.com or at MIBeerTours on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and every other place you can think of. Plus, you can go to BetterOnDraft.com and you can hear the show again. You can save it. You can do all you need to about this. But I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank these ladies for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this was fun.
Where's the music that says we're going out? We're going
out. Outro music.
There we go.